sack. Is that all you get for your money? And if that's what you have in mind, yeah, if that's what you're all about, good luck moving up, 'cause I'm moving out.
Good morning and welcome to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Mark Carr, team member of the Becky Ivins Real Estate team, sitting here with Becky Ivins.
Good morning, Mark.
Good morning.
Happy Father's Day to you tomorrow.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, all the fathers out there.
It's a fantastic weekend.
Yeah.
Fun.
It is. It's a fun weekend, you know, cookouts and such. Yeah. So we are talking today about contingencies in the contract.
We're talking about what do you have to do if you need to sell your house before buying a house? And what if you're the seller and you have offers that are contingent versus non-contingent? And if you want to join the conversation today, you can give us a call at 405-840-1000. That's 405-840-1000. All right, Becky, where do you want to start in this topic of contingencies?
I'll start with a scary story. We had a contract. This was actually about a week ago, last week maybe, where we had to use a builder's contract form instead of the form from the Oklahoma Real Estate Commission. Builders mostly have their own forms, their own contract forms. And many of them use the Oklahoma State Home Builders Association form. Others have kind of tweaked that into different forms. Well, we used a local builder's form just exactly as they asked us to. We took him the offer first on an OREC form.
One of the OREC new construction forms, which they have.
Yes. And those forms allow for a house that is partially built, a house that is not yet built, and a house that is finished. I mean, they allow for any stage of construction. And you have the ability to attach various attachments to the contract. Well, they came back to us on their form. It was negotiated months ago. The house gets finished being built. And time to close. Come to find out, the buyer, and it was written into the contract that it was a contingent up on the sale of buyer's property, and it was under contract to be sold and at the time. So, but there was no contingency. There was no words in that contract that said attach a copy of that offer to this contract. So we didn't. Because there was no contract.
There was no wording in the contract.
No wording. Yeah. And the thing is the I'm trying to think of that agent's closed two houses that week. This one was not during construction. It was after construction. So the contract was not a very long closing time, say 30 to 60-day range, which is pretty normal for an already built house. So we ended up contacting the buyer and saying, when's your closing? Well, my closing's been delayed because my contract is contingent, and that contract is contingent. So we end up having a four-stack contingency that nobody really knew about because the builder's contract form did not require that information. So it's pretty important to use the right kind of forms. We had a builder's panel at Home Builders Association, Central Oklahoma Home Builders Association, and I'm the chair of the education department there, the education of the Sales and Marketing Council, so I did bring that up to the builders, and I said, by the way, this is what happened. And we ended up getting the house closed, and it closed on time because we found out that one of the parties in that line of contingencies could afford to close before they sold. So we did that, and that was great. But it didn't it might not have turned out that way had we not found a substantial person in the middle of that stack of contingencies.
Yeah.
So there's a lot to cover with contingencies.
So there's a good little tidbit, a nugget of gold in the midst of that, of you can have two different contingencies of the contingent upon the house being sold, but your loan can also be contingent upon you. And that was what was different in that, is that one of those did not have to sell their house money-wise in order to qualify for their loan. Is that correct?
They wanted to. And I'm sure there was probably some negotiation to get them to go ahead and borrow the money to go ahead and close on the deal. So chances are there was some contractual changes in the price, or seller paid closing costs or something like that, in order to make that happen. So anyway, there are many, many contingencies in a contract. The one that people talk about when you say it's contingent is usually it is contingent upon the buyer's house being sold and closed prior to purchasing the new property, whether it's a new or existing property. Yeah.
That's the most common one, because for a lot of us, our greatest asset that we have is the equity within our home.
Right.
And so when we want to buy a new home, we want to use that equity that we have in order to purchase to continue the real estate road up higher. Now, what's the most, you talked about stacked. Sometimes I call them dominoes. You have one domino has to fall before the other domino. What's the most dominoes or stacks you've had in a row? This was four.
Seven. And I've
that had, would make me nervous.
I've had five a handful of times.
Yeah.
Five in a row. Seven I've had twice. The most notable was on 9/12 of 01.
I'm just telling you, listener, if Becky can name a date that something happens.
Well, that's
something happened on that date.
Well, something happened the day before.
Oh, my gosh.
9/11 happened the day
before. So the 9/11, the 9/12.
The next day, we had seven properties closing, one right after the other, which, by the way, makes it almost physically impossible to be at all seven closings, because you've got not all of them closed at the same title company.
Were all of them local?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. All of these were, I say local, Oklahoma.
All of them. I mean, that was content. I mean.
And the rub came with the second to the bottom one. Like one of them closes, has to close before number two closes. And I was involved in three of those closings of the seven, right? But I was not involved in the first three at all. So we'll get to the details on that, but there's a lot to learn about contingencies.
When we come back with more on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000 KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. Before Becky finishes the story.
The scary story.
Let's talk to our money man, Dean Riddell.
NMLS number 196-895.
Dean Riddell from SWBC Mortgage. Good morning, Dean. We got you there. Dean, you still there?
I'm here.
Hey, good morning, Dean. How are you today?
I'm doing good. I'm kind of anxious to hear Becky's story.
It's a good story.
I think we've teased out a good story here.
Yeah.
We coming
out. Okay.
Now, there's good stories happening with mortgage rates, is the rumor mill. Is that true?
Yeah. Well, we've seen a little improvement, Mark. It's not drastic, but we have, we've seen inflation numbers a little prettier. We've seen the Fed not going to continue to elevate rates. So maybe this is the timing for that slippage that we all have been anticipating. Maybe it's going to start occurring now. It didn't fall great through the week, but you saw rates in the 6.75, 6.875 range for all loan types. So we have seen improvement, but it's still a great number. I mean, Becky, we've all done this a long time. There's still nothing wrong.
We have been doing this a long time. I'll tell you something. I'm going to finish my story if you have time to hang on.
Yeah,
because
absolutely.
That way you can comment on where SWBC is in this little line. Okay. I don't recall which mortgage companies were involved in this. It was some time ago. It was, 2001. Our life was getting pretty crowded with a senior in high school. Our baby was a senior in high school at the time, was applying to go to the academy at West Point, and had to get a physical, which was scheduled on 9/11, by the way, at Tinker Air Force Base. We waited and waited and waited in that traffic, and we could not find a way to get into the Air Force Base. It was shut down. But the next day, I had 7 closings. It was not, I had 3 of the closings, but there were 7 properties involved with other realtors as well in that mix. And everything went fine. We all did our walkthroughs. Everyone was talking about the trade towers and the Pentagon and all this stuff during our walkthroughs of the property that on 9/11, right? The next day, we started early. Usually, your first closing of a morning is at 9 o'clock. We started at 8 because we had to do 7 of them in a day. And it was, you have to travel between one closing company and the next sometimes. And at the time, you had to go, the seller of one property sometimes had to go to their bank, the bank of the closing company, and exchange it for a cashier's check because not all the closing companies trusted each other's checks.
Right.
So that was kind of a messy time too. But we started closing the properties. But the problem is these were all in the Midwest City, Dell City, Choctaw, McLeod area. And so I-240 and I-240 were
right by Tinker.
It was. We could not get to our closings. We had to take an exit closer to over by downtown in order to even get past Tinker Air Force Base. So then we started closing the properties, and the first one closed, the second one closed. The third property was being financed through a mortgage company where their headquarters were in the tower.
Oh, my.
So not only did they not have the paperwork, and it was paperwork back then instead of everything digital, they didn't even have an employee to call to check on this.
Holy cow.
Yeah. I mean, so you think about what can interfere with a closing. Well, a terrorist attack can definitely interfere. Now, luckily, those people were rather substantial folks financially, and they just paid cash.
They switched from a loan to cash.
However, their cash also was coming out of the trade tower. And a local bank loaned them the money just
like a line of credit, basically.
Line of credit. Based on their financial statements and their investments that were in hand. Because the banker knew them. It's good to know a banker, by the way, personally.
Yeah,
your banker needs to know you so that if something like that were to happen, like if I were needing to go get $20,000 for something, I'm pretty sure I could get it because I've got bankers who know me and know that money's there,
yeah.
Even if the trade tower gets exploded, right?
Yeah.
So we ended up closing all seven of those properties that day. Thank goodness the one that couldn't get their money was...
had the ability to...
Yeah. So had the ability to go get money elsewhere, but it kind of let you know where all the finances were running through. Where does SWBC's finances run through?
Well, SWBC has warehouse lines all across the country, too. But the fun part about us is we have no debt, and we've got the cash to do a lot without the warehouse lines that we need. But most banks, like us, depend upon warehouse lines, whether that be a Chase or whomever, as their funding source. That's typical within our world.
And something that we can all understand, a warehouse line is a lending institution, right, that loans a line of credit to mortgage companies.
Yes.
Okay.
That's right.
Yeah, but the backup to that is, Becky, is because, again, we have no debt. And so that's probably one of the things that when you talk about can you make an exception, pull a trigger, we've got some ability that, you know, that we're fortunate that some banks, some lenders don't have.
Right.
So we don't want to use our own money. We can use the line. Let's use the line. And that's, of course, that's a corporate decision. I mean, that's how most mortgage companies run is with those warehouse lines.
There's an interesting, talking about a domino stack over most lenders are borrowing money in order to let you borrow money from them.
Well, almost all of them
do. And they're making money off the variation between those two. Now, all of those seven had to fund that day, right?
Yes, they did all fund that day because we're a table-funded state.
Right.
And
so they all funded quickly. I mean, because sometimes it takes a little bit for things to fund.
Well, you think about this. You got seven houses. That means you've got eight families because, okay, that are loaded up into trucks ready to move. So it's pretty important you get your ducks in a row when you've got something like that happening. I had one other one that was a seven stack deal, and it was not the day after 9/11, so I don't recall anything about it except that they all closed. You know, there was no external event triggering my emotions there.
So if you want to call Dean Riddell at SWBC Mortgage, this is one of the things that makes Dean Riddell and Matt McLean our favorites at SWBC is they get it done. They get things closed.
They get it done. Thank you, Dean.
You can call them at 405-858-7770. That's 858-7770. Or go to BeckyIvins.com. Click on Becky's favorites. You'll see them right at the top.
Okay, contingencies.
Yep.
We've had in the past different things in our contracts. When I first started in the business, our contract, we had one contract and it was one page long. And
you said it was a legal page.
It was a legal size page.
But everything, how small was the type?
It was pretty, it was pretty tiny, but I was much younger then. So I could see it back then, right? But it had lots of blanks in the contract. And one of them, you just had to write into the contingent upon this property selling prior to closing. And that was it. That's all you got.
It didn't give any other explanation about that contingency.
No. And then we went to a contingency addendum to our contract. You attached a contingency addendum. Now, we no longer have that available to us, even though some of us have kept that contingency in our arsenal. Because it's different than what our contracts have now. That contingency gave some different time frames. Like, you have to get your house on the market. If your house isn't on the market, the contingent property, you have to get it on there within 2 days. Has to be in the multi-list, you know, marketed with a multi-list realtor. Then you would have so many, once you get notification that the seller has accepted a backup contract subject to the release of the contingent contract, you would have 48 hours, I think, might have been the default, but there was a blank. You could write in how many hours you wanted. And most of the time, I wrote in 72 hours. If I had a buyer, if I have a seller, I want it 24 hours. You provide services for usually one party in the transaction, and you're as open as you can be, but sometimes there's advantages one direction or the other. Yeah. So, and at times that contingency addendum is really good, but now we've got two different ones. Sale of, it's contingent upon the sale of buyer's property, not under contract yet, or the sale of buyer's property presently under contract. We can talk about
those.
We'll
talk about those right after the news break here, and it is important that you know what the advantage and disadvantage for seller and buyer. And we'll be back with more on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000 KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Mark Carr, team member of the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team, here with Becky Ivins, and it's time for our word of the day. Our word of the day is brought to you by Robbins Roofing, where their word every day is trust. You can trust Robbins Roofing from a small repair to a complete replacement. Give them a call at 728-3700. That's 405-728-3700. Becky, what's our word of the day?
Well, I was going to do contingency, and you told me to do OREC because we have mentioned that a couple of times. What is OREC?
That's right. And you always do what I tell you to
yes,
do,
I
right?
Yes, I know, right? So a lot of people pronounce this differently. It is OREC.
O-R-E-C.
Right, which is an acronym. It's not really a word. But it is Oklahoma Real Estate Commission. So, and like in Texas, it's T-Rex.
Well, I like
T-Rex,
that one.
Actually. T-Rex. But I mean, they pronounce it like T-Rex. So that is the governing body that helps protect the public.
So real estate is a highly governed oversight. I mean, it has, and so these forms that we're talking about and we're going to be talking about with the contingency forms are put out by OREC, Oklahoma Real Estate Commission.
There are other forms that are put out by different real estate associations, like we belong to Oklahoma City Metropolitan Association of Realtors. Some people belong to the Edmond Association of Realtors. So, I mean, there's different forms by different people. In our office, if there's an OREC form, we use it because that's the governing body.
Yeah. Usually that means, well, that it has been tested.
It is written by.
Written by the
OREC,
people that, right.
Right, the attorneys and the committee, the forms and contract committee. Yeah. At the Oklahoma Real Estate Commission.
But there's no requirement for realtors to use those forms. They can use a form that they write up. They can use a form that another lawyer write up. Or they can use a form that
It's not good practice to use a form that you write up because you are not an attorney. Most realtors are not attorneys. So if we change very much on a real estate contract, I send it to Ron Shalott, my attorney, to approve it, tweak it, be sure I'm saying legally it says what I intend it to say and what the buyer and the seller intend it to say and agree to. So, yeah. So, but anyway, let's talk about contingencies, okay?
Yep. So our first contingency is, let's start with the sale of a buyer's property that's not under contract.
Okay. If you need to sell a house in order to buy another house, and it's not under contract yet, there is a form for that, and it is called sale of buyer's property, and in parentheses, not under contract. And so it lists the subject property that is the contingent property, we typically call for it. And there are requirements in this. One is you choose one or the other. The buyer's property is now listed exclusively for sale with a real estate brokerage firm. Or the buyer shall list buyer's property with a real estate brokerage within 2 days of acceptance of the form.
And it says have to endeavor to sell it pursuant to the terms of the listing agreement. So it's one that says you have to be pursuing selling your house. Now, interesting part of this is, to me, is it does not include for sale by owner. It doesn't say
that. It's because for sale by owners are not such a sure thing. If I had a property that was subject to somebody selling their own house as a for sale by owner, I'm not accepting that contract. So this has to do, you could always mark that paragraph out if you don't want it in there and just say it's for sale by owner. And we've actually had that happen with a for sale property currently under contract.
Mm.
Okay. So anyway, it's contingent upon the closing of the contingent property prior to the closing of the subject property that you're purchasing.
All right. So when this happens, does the seller have the ability to accept a different offer than can they continue to market the house, or is it?
Well, the seller's property under this addendum that says sale of buyer's property condition, not under contract, then yes, the seller's property shall remain on the market, and seller may continue to show and offer seller's property for sale until the termination condition is removed. So until such time that buyer's house is under contract, then the seller can continue to show the property. But the seller can demand, and the word demand is actually in this contract form, can demand for the buyer to remove that contingency condition. Well, they can only do that if they've accepted another offer. Now, it's not if they receive another offer. It's if they have signed a backup offer.
And that backup offer has to be non-contingent, I believe, correct?
Well,
because yes. I believe you cannot accept another non. So even if someone offered you $20,000 more, if it's contingent, I don't believe you can accept it. It has to be non-contingent in order to.
You cannot bump out a contingency with another contingency, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And they usually they've got 24 hours in order to remove the contingency. So if you are an agent that's working with a buyer, and they need, and that buyer needs to sell their house before they can buy the house that you're trying to sell them, well, the first thing to do is to find out, do they have the ability to purchase without selling the contingent property? Mm-hmm. Because they probably want to sell it first, but do they really have the ability? Because would they move forward with the purchase even if they've not sold their home? Or could they qualify to purchase the new home, qualify for the loan, if in fact they've not sold their house? So the requirements are right here in it's very large print. I'm so impressed with that. But at some point, the removal of the contingency, the buyer has to do one of two things. They have to have their property under contract with no conditions to that new contract except for title survey financing. It can't be contingent, or they have to deliver a written verification from a financial institution that they can qualify for both home loans if they can afford to buy it.
So from a seller's perspective, when you're talking to a seller about whether to accept a contingent offer, what's the pros and cons of this? Because as a seller, you're going, well, I have an offer to stick in my back pocket, and I keep on marketing my house, right?
Yeah, but I will tell you that folks don't, realtors don't like showing property where they're not going to get to hear for 1, 2, 3 days whether or not their buyer can buy that property and their contingent property contract be removed. So it's not, even though it's on the market as for sale, it's clearly identified as a contingent sale is in front of your buyer's sale,
yeah.
Right? So anyway, if they don't remove the contingency, if the seller demands to remove the contingency and the buyer fails to remove the termination condition within the time period in the contract, then the contract will automatically terminate and become null and void. So you can't just have inactivity of just someone not acting and keep it under contract.
Boy, from a buyer's perspective, when you're working with a buyer who's doing a contingent offer, you better know the contract well, because the time days, the dates really start to matter over, are you going to inspect a home that you may not end up purchasing? And what's the timeline for giving out those money? You know, because as a buyer, you start spending money. So how do we handle that as far as like setting up all those dates?
Well, I've got one now that there was a question as to whether or not there was clear title on a property. So we made our contract, it's called a time reference date, the date from which all the other timelines flow in the contract. Like you've got 10 days to do your home inspection. You've got 10 days to get qualified through your mortgage company. There's different things in the contract that flow from the time reference date. Mm-hmm. And you name that date in the contract, and it's a default of 3 days after the date of the contract has signed, was last signed by buyer or seller. Or you can put a date in there or another condition. So on this one, I put a condition upon the seller furnishing a title opinion, a title commitment from Chicago Title that they have clear and marketable title to the property. And then we start inspections, and we order the well and septic inspections, and we can do a structural inspection, and we can get the appraisal done. So there's a lot that, I mean, you go with a skilled realtor and they will take the good options for you.
There definitely is options. We'll be talking about the other contingency of what happens when the sale of the buyer's house is currently under contract. When we get back, come back on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. It is time for our Smoking Hot Deal.
Hot, hot, hot. Feeling hot, hot, hot. Oh, no.
Our Smoking Hot Deal is brought to you by Casa Perico Mexican Grill, located on the south corner of 122nd and Penn and on 63rd, just west of Meridian and in Yukon on Route 66. Becky, what's our Smoking Hot Deal?
Well, we've got a new listing that is new construction. It's finished, and it's beautiful, and built by Ron James. And Ron James Designer Homes is just my personal favorite, mainly because he pays such attention to detail, not just at the end where you can see it, but Ron has this thing that he likes to do. He likes to seal up holes. Back in the day when people didn't even care, he would do that.
So back when I was in high school and college, I would help hang wallpaper in Ron James Homes
uh-huh.
when Riverbend was just being built out. It was the beginning before Cooper Middle School was there.
Right.
And the thing that I remember from a wallpaper perspective is things were straight.
I
which
know.
Things are never straight.
It
was like we always loved because my job was to prep the walls, and it was always easier in
right.
his homes.
There, so if you're wanting a meticulously built home, this is it. And it's in Blackwood Farms at Riverbend, which is 63rd and Council,
mm-hmm.
and just to the west of there and south of 63rd. And it's under 2,500 square feet. And it's a 3-bed, 2.5 bath, and it has a really big garage. The garage is 24 feet deep, which is
wow.
Most garages nowadays are 20 feet deep. So you can fit your double cab.
So if you have that long bed truck.
Yes. I mean, you can fit it in there. So that's great. It's $425,000 and a brand new, and more cabinets in there. Now, the cabinet builder that he used is the same one that I've used to build my two homes that I built, and meticulous and very good. But Ron put a huge dresser built-in chest of drawers, three or four. It's kind of like a triple dresser, but higher, because lots and lots of storage. And the utility room has a big sink in it, not a little tiny excuse for a sink. And lots of countertop and a drip dry rack for hanging things as they come out of the washer or out of the dryer. There's a nice rack to hang things on. And then there is, I'm not sure what you call that thing that is, I call it something to put your shoes on when you, or your boots or whatever. It's coat rack with a seat and storage underneath the seat as you come in from the garage. So it's a full-size set of stairs going up to the attic and above the garage, which is a big garage again, but it's floored above there, and it's got the envelope of the hard foam insulation in this home. So,
well, if you think we're teasing you to take a look at it, we are. Go to BeckyIvins.com, click on search listings. You'll see it right there. You can take a virtual tour. You can also schedule an in-person tour by either clicking right there. You can fill out a little form, or you can give us a call at the office at 405-722-3232.
And to add more numbers to what you just said, the address of this property is 8312 Northwest 63rd Terrace. So it does not back up to 63rd. It's on the other side of the street. And that's not a busy street anyway. 63rd at that point,
at that terrace,
dead ends
yeah.
into the wildlife preserve. So, okay, we're talking contingencies. Now, if your property's already under contract to be sold and you're ready to buy another house, you use a different form. And that is sale of buyer's property condition presently under contract. And what it does is basically say that the property that's described above, which is the legal description, also known as the street address, and it has to close before a certain date in order for your contract to purchase your property holds. And so you have to sell. If it doesn't close by that date, and sometimes sellers want it to close a week before so that they know the seller knows whether or not to pack up and leave, right? So, anyway, that's a pretty straightforward
yeah.
property. I thought I might mention some other contingencies in our contract. It is contingent upon several things. One thing is the disclosure of how many realtors are involved, or if it's an in-house deal, or if it is a cross sale with another real estate broker. It's also contingent upon the buyer putting down a certain amount of earnest money that's filled in to and putting it on deposit with whatever institution is written in the contract. It also has to close before a certain date. That's contingent. If it doesn't close on or before a certain date,
the contract is null and void.
Yes, null and void. Time is of the essence,
yeah.
which is what that means. The dates in the contract are for real, and they matter.
Now, you can always amend that date
Well, with buyer and seller approval,
but with
you can.
Approval, right. Yeah, both sides have to approve by it.
It's contingent upon the certain property being left with the real property, and sometimes that is, you know, like remote controls to some of the equipment. Satellite dishes can stay, or it's defined in the contract. It is also contingent upon the buyer being satisfied with investigations, inspections, and reviews. So if they inspect, say they investigate the homeowners association and find out that homeowners association does not have enough funds to run the homeowners association, there's not enough funds in the bank, the buyer can back out because they're going, no, I'm not buying into that. Yeah. Or maybe there's a lawsuit against the homeowners association and they don't want to purchase part of that lawsuit, right? So that's a contingency. Getting clear title to the property is a contingency. If the seller cannot get clear title to the property, then the contract is null and void. And they have a certain number of days to do that, and that's negotiated in the contract. And it's also subject to, like we've talked about, the title being clear and not having any encumbrances. A lot of people that do a for sale by owner are totally unaware that if you purchase a for sale by owner and you don't buy title insurance from a reputable company, that there could be income tax liens against the person that become liens against that property. So you can buy a property that ends up having $300,000 of tax liens on it. And you've purchased that.
And you've purchased the liens then.
Well, the thing is you can't sell it again until those liens are paid, right? Yeah.
So I've got a contingency I think we haven't mentioned yet that's in the contract is it's on final financing. That oftentimes you'll have a pre-approval letter and they think, well, the financing's all clear. But the mortgage companies go back and review everything.
And they get maybe they get a verification of employment, and it doesn't match. Yep. The income doesn't match what was reported because maybe the buyer reported the, overtime.
Right.
Or commissions. So it all has to match. So lots of contingencies. Give us a call and we'll explain it to you.
Becky, this is why I enjoy you with knowing contracts. You know and have taught contracts. Thank you, listener, for being with us this week on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK.
And may all of your hopes turn to wishes. And may all of your wishes come true.